Oh, proper rock band. Best band since Thin Lizzy, The Darkness.
Oh, big words.
Growing on me, XFM 104.9.
A bit rash, I think.
R. Gervais, S. Merchant, K. Pilkington. With a little bit of that. I know for a fact, that Steve is getting a little bit sick of Carl's attitude.
Oh, his attitude's appalling.
I quite like it though, because it's a straight away friction and he's sort of like, you know.
To be fair, I genuinely don't think I'm the culprit in this. I think I come in and I just ask him a simple request.
Yeah.
And immediately on my back. Whinging, moaning, whining. I mean, I don't know if there's any evidence.
Well, it's funny to say that actually, because, in a survey, yeah, it came out this week, it's, quite extensive. Mancunians take more sick days than anyone else. Mancunians take more sick days than workers in any other city in Britain and Ireland, according to Manchester-based employment firm. Survey, by Peninsula found that employees in Manchester take 11 sick days per year, whereas closest rivals Edinburgh and Dublin, take an average of 9, Liverpool, Newcastle, Birmingham, Cardiff, only 8.
Is Reading mentioned there, or
no? It's not even in. It's not even in there. They don't take days off. London is only 7. So the point is, I mean, I don't think you can take anything from it. But if you're an employer and you had a Mancunian and a Liverpudlian and they were equal on everything else, but you really couldn't afford them to be away, Liverpudlian's going to probably be away for 8 days.
Sure. Mm.
The Manx going to be away for 11, phoning in sick. And
so what can you? I mean, just analysing the data there. What would you extrapolate from that?
I really don't know. I mean, call in if you've got any clues, or email us in if you've got any. I don't know why they. I think maybe. I don't know. Mancunians.
I mean, I don't really know many people from Manchester.
Well, I only know one, but I know he was off sick because he put on wet trousers and he got.
He got a cold, I think.
Yeah. Well, he just said he was. Yeah. Didn't come in for.
Yeah.
He left early as well once.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, that's the survey. I don't know. I mean, it's evidence because it's statistics. So. There
yeah,
you go.
It's guaranteed evidence that that's
so
proof.
Any thoughts on that, Ricky Dr. Gervais at xfm.co.uk?
I mean, you're from, oddly enough, you're from Manchester, Carl.
Yeah, yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
On what, sorry?
No, on the survey.
Wasn't really listening.
Sure.
Well, Mancunians take off more sick days. They call in sick. I mean, presumably spuriously.
Yeah.
I mean, because they've got the same body. They're biologically the same, so.
So they're obviously making up. They're lying.
Yeah,
they're
some of the days. Maybe it's just the three extra they're making up.
Yeah, they're moaning.
Probably because we work a lot harder than the others, so we're tired, so you're sick, so you need time off. Probably.
Wow.
Probably.
Seems unlikely.
I mean, the Scousers, to be honest, yeah, take them on, let them work in your office. But you know, how many computers are going to go missing?
Right, that.
So offensive.
Is offensive. Right. This is a survey that proved. You just made that up. You just carried on the myth that Liverpudlians thieve. Now that's not true. That is not true.
Well
it's not.
Well, some of them do.
There's been no survey that you're more likely to thieve if you're from Liverpool than if you're in Manchester. So that hasn't been proven yet. So all I've got is the evidence from a survey of, I think, 3,500 people. Yeah. It's proof that people, Mancunians, take off more sick days. XFM 104.9. This is April Come She Will by Simon and Garfunkel. Simon and Garfunkel, April Come She Will. A lovely, lovely love song there. The X List was all about sort of like sexy songs because of death of Barry White, of course. And Carl and Steve having a little argument. Steve said, "Well, there are such a thing as sexy songs, of course." Carl said, "I can't understand it. No. I can't understand it. How can something be sexy? How can you warm one with a song?" Steve went, "Well, you don't warm with it. You just put it on in the background." Carl said, "Stick the telly on."
Stick the telly on.
I love that.
You don't believe there's any such thing as a sexy song, is that right?
I don't think it can get you in the mood. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're either in with a chance or you're not. I don't think it matters what song you put on.
Well, I don't think it ups your chances. I don't think if
you take- It does. If you put Channel 5 on a Friday night, right, see a little bit of that action, gets anyone going. And it's worked for me and that's all
what's
on
when pets go mad?
No, you know, like, I don't know the titles of them. I don't look at the titles, but-
What, the show with Chris Moyles? Do you mean the kind of erotic thrillers?
Yeah, put one of them on, that gets you going a bit. I might be tired and that, but-
What does the woman go? Oh, that's an idea. Hey, that's an idea.
They're normally called something like illegal briefs. And they're normally about, you know, they're normally about some kind of female solicitor who's defending a guy who may or may not be a killer, but maybe in a former life they were lovers. It's always some nonsense like that. And presumably there's normally some gruesome murders. So how is that getting you in the mood?
It's plot development.
Yes, the narrative. Oh, I love narrative.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, that's a lovely twist. I've got the horn.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So, if you're from Manchester, sorry about that. I mean, it is true. We weren't making that up. We weren't doing a stupid stereotype like Carl did with Liverpudlians. It's just a survey that Mancunians take off more sick days. I mean, but there might be genuine, there might be sort of an iller people, or it might just be people who are in Manchester go, oh, I can't be bothered to go to work, it's rubbish. Whereas if you're in London, you go, I can't wait to go to work. What a lovely place this is.
Some great jobs down here.
Great jobs down here.
Yeah. Rick, I know you're always looking, just to keep you kept abreast of, you know, new developments in music, what's happening.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've got any plans this evening, but you might want to pop along to the Hope and Anchor in Islington.
Why?
Where, playing tonight, Restless Diesel.
Please welcome to the stage.
Restless Diesel. I mean, we've talked about it before, band names where you just have to imagine you're supporting U2, Wembley Stadium. It can never happen. Please welcome to the stage.
And
Restless
he comes on
Diesel.
And after the first song, he goes, thanks, cause great band before us, Restless Diesel. You hear a lot more of them.
Exactly.
Yeah, it won't happen, will it?
Sure, they're a great band. I think you
What's the tax
them.
On that? Fiver in, is it?
It's not, not telling us actually, yeah, but yeah, to pop that in the Hope and Anchor, maybe tell us how Restless Diesel were tonight.
Yeah, just, call in. Maybe, call in on, Christian Show Monday, just tell us how Restless Diesel were. We can make that a regular feature.
Now, what's coming up on today's show, really?
Well, listen, we've got all the usual favourites, we've got, and some new ones. We've got monkey news, that's sorted, Carl told me.
People are guaranteed monkey
he
news.
He called in, he said, I've got some monkey news. Brilliant. He's done that, I had to make sure. Yeah, we got that. We've got, some great tunes. I've got a great song from Tupac, some Cat Stevens, some Jimmy Webb, some Thin Lizzy.
Can I surprise you with something from Aerosmith?
Brilliant.
A little treat from Evan Dando.
We're quite rocky today, aren't we? There's a threat that there won't be Rockbusters.
Good. That's no threat.
But, we can bring back Educating Ricky.
Oh.
I mean, cause it's sort of like seasonal, isn't it, our show? We don't want all the, it's not like Ant and Dec's takeaways on all through the year.
Yeah.
They go away for a few weeks and we get something else like Ian Wright's, you know, friends like these or something.
Exactly.
Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, maybe Rockbusters, maybe not.
Rockbusters on hiatus, but Educating Ricky always.
That's
if you've
what's
not heard
coming
that
up.
Before.
And, I'll tell you what, Jane's Addiction, just because they rock as well, don't they?
Oh, brilliant.
XFM 104.9.
Excellent, Ricky Gervais.
Jane's Addiction, just because on XFM 104.9, broadcasting from London, where people prefer to only be off sick when they actually are ill.
Sure.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever taken a day off sick. Mm. Except when I had that terrible, terrible, terrible tonsillitis.
Is that when you went home, stayed with your mum and dad?
Yeah. Why is that a problem? No respect to health.
No, I'm not saying it's a problem.
No respect to health. Yeah, I've got loving family. Yeah. So sue me. What do you make of that?
The antagonism and piss taking is just like, oh god, three blokes in a pub. If there's people listening, I can't.
Yeah. Are there? Carl, what do you make of London? Because you often say you'd much rather be up north.
Well, he wouldn't, or he'd go.
Well, this is what he constantly says.
You've chosen to live here, you've lived here for years, you've got a flat here.
No.
No.
I chose to come here because I was offered a job that was good money.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have come here if there was no job.
So you prefer to be somewhere where there's a good job, so you've chosen to live here?
I don't like being here, though.
What? No, but you can leave.
To what?
Well, exactly! So you've chosen to stay somewhere that's better for you.
It's not better for me.
Well,
it's making me ill, I'm not sleeping.
Well, so you say you're ill, you call in ill, but I don't think you are. But I mean-
Are there any stats to prove that?
Well, yeah, cause you know, it'd be of the 11 days that he calls in sick, I reckon probably 7 of them are genuine.
I'd love it if you dropped down dead tonight. Honestly, I'd love it.
If you dropped down dead tonight, you'd have it. Why aren't you sleeping?
What, you're feeling ill now, are you? That's funny, you weren't feeling ill earlier, but you read that, and you're suddenly ill.
I'm run down.
Well, you should take a holiday. Oh yeah, you've just had about 8 in the last 6 months.
God!
Why are you run down? Why are you run down?
Yeah, what have you done? You sit in a little air-conditioned office.
I've got time to tell you. Let's move on. Let's get on with stuff. What have we got anyway? Because we didn't have a chance to meet up this week. Me and Ricky could have done, but you said you were busy, Steve.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's probably why you don't get run down. But finishing work at about 4 o'clock.
No.
So
I could have had the meeting, but we gave you a time and you suddenly decided with very little notice that you couldn't make it. So
that was the meeting. So what have we got then? What have we got? It's 1:20. What have we got? We're on till 3.
Well, we've been talking, we've been doing well, we've been playing some great rock and roll, we've been playing some lovely songs. We've explained a survey just for employees, be careful.
Yeah.
We've, you know, put that out there, we put a shout out there, people know
you. Would you say it was probably safest if you are an employer to never employ Mancunians?
I wouldn't go that far because you see that's only an average. So I imagine some Mancunians, like, you know, Londoners, you know, are nice, reliable people. It's probably just a few bad eggs that throw the stats up a little bit. You know, people that would go, I'm not coming in today, I put on some wet trousers. Sure. All right, stay in bed.
Yeah.
Stay in bed.
Yeah.
You still got them on? Yeah. Well, pop them off.
Yeah.
Put them on the radiator and go to bed with a little duvet. That'd be the best thing to do.
Yeah.
So, all right, Carl? What's your attitude? Is it because you're tired?
Yeah.
Well, why are you tired, though?
You weren't saying that watching those Channel 5 films again, were you?
I'll tell you what, we were, me and Steve were having a little meeting yesterday, a lunch about, you know, planning stuff for the show, and, Gary Kemp came up to me, started having a little chat about old times, and, I went, oh, yeah. As he went away, Steve said, right, think of this, he said, Rick, don't take this the wrong way. Remember that sentence, don't take this the wrong way. So there's a right way and a wrong way I could have taken this comment. He went, nodded to sort of Gary Kemp and went, he's aged better than you. I went, well, how could I take that the wrong way?
Yeah, it's not offensive.
No. Well, the point is this, he didn't know me 20 years ago, so he's actually saying, Rick, don't take this the wrong way, he looks better than you do.
Yeah, well, he does.
But why say that, Carl?
What? Did you really say that?
Yeah, although, can I just get, just backtracking for a second, I love the fact you said you bumped into Gary Kemp and you reminisced about old times. What old times did you share with Gary Kemp?
Well, no, he came up and said, did we drop the pops together? And I went, no, I did razzmatazz. He said, oh, we did razzmatazz. I think he was thinking, had he ever met me before? But he hadn't, because we hadn't, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
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 And,
but if you had to make an objective analysis,
I wouldn't. I think that's out of order.
Sure. Sure. I mean, you're always slagging me off, but apparently you can't make a value judgment on something else. No. Because you're morally all over the place. You don't know where you're coming or going.
Believe it.
Sure. You should hear what I say about you behind your back.
So, would you say you're better looking now than you were? Or?
Than I'm what?
Would you say you're better looking now than you were?
Than I was when?
Well, like, you know, have you aged well?
Yes.
You've aged well?
Yeah, I've kept my looks.
Yeah. Bit of dando?
Bit Evan Dando, this would be lovely, yeah. Look for sunshine to the burning full
time. Radiohead, Go to Sleep. That's good, isn't it? On XFM 104.9.
Brilliant. No, great DJ, man.
Well, I haven't heard it before.
Good, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it was good. It was very good. It was very good. I was just watching, cable TV. I do a lot of that. And, there's an advert I've noticed. It reminded me of, the sort of adverts you used to see when I was a kid. It's one of those attempts to kind of educate young people. But doing
the youth.
It in the, yeah. But
yeah.
It's on MTV, but it's one of those things where it's clearly been made by people who are in their mid-40s.
Who have never been cool.
Who have never been cool.
Yeah.
Who've been working really hard to get into TV all their lives. And, and now are trying to appeal to, you know, funky and possibly wayward young people.
Yeah.
And it's kind of-
Nerdy-wells.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a kind of, stunning model, and two of our stunning model friends. But they're just a couple of average girls, you know, going about their business. And, you know, it says something like, and it's all shot very funkily, like a kind of, you know, Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels kind of thing. And, as it goes on, she's just grooving along with her friends, and it's kind of like, the captions are things like, you know, Isabella's 17. She's cool, she's quite funky, she's got these great friends, and they're sort of hanging out, laughing. And, she just pops into a tattoo parlor.
Sure.
Why not? Her friends are like, what are you doing? But she just goes in, you know, she has a tattoo done, and it sort of says, she's wild, she's crazy. You know, she lives life as she sees it. She takes every day as it comes. She's not tied down or anything. Da, 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 da. She doesn't smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
So it just says, don't smoke cigarettes.
If you think she's cool. If you think all this is cool, then you probably won't want to take cigarettes.
Exactly.
If you want to be cool, then
like
don't.
Isabella or whatever.
Except the thing with that is that people watching that, the youth watching that will go, well, Bill at my school, he smokes and he's cool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, this is the problem with it.
Yeah.
It's not that the impulse is wrong. the message is fine. It's just this thing, I can't imagine those things ever working with you, with young people.
No.
With youths. It's like when you see, when, you know, what was it?
What it will do is that you'll get a lot of 13 and 14 year olds sneaking out and getting a tattoo.
Exactly.
So the parents be going, I'd rather she smoked!
Exactly, she might give that up
yeah,
sometimes, that's her life.
She's got a spider's web on her face now for the rest of her life!
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's sort of, it's like, you remember that thing when they tried to get young people to vote? Do you remember that? Was it Rock the Vote? Was it called Rock the Vote? Was it?
God.
Was it people like Billy Bragg and,
yeah.
and people kind of?
Yeah.
I just I don't know who that appeals to. I don't know. You know, some youth is kind of smashing up a bus shelter,
yeah.
throwing bricks at old
he
people.
Goes, oh, Billy,
what's that, Billy Bragg?
Billy Bragg. Yeah.
I just can't. I don't believe it ever. I think it was Mick Hucknall was another one. What's that, Mick?
Oh dear. Well, I remember the ones where you just if you were gonna go off with a stranger. Your cat went, well, don't.
Yeah.
Ask mummy first.
Yeah.
And I remember I was trying to jump in cars left, right and centre, but my cat,
exactly.
when I was like 5 or 6, would go, and
yeah.
I go, good point.
Yeah.
You're right, you could be a nutter.
But I seem to remember the Charlie Says, it was Charlie Says, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Charlie Says. I always find them really unnerving. He lived in that really eerie kind of world where you never really
like
saw
cartoon.
Anyone. Yeah, but it was
yeah.
very kind of, it was very eerie. It wasn't a very kind of,
no, but they hadn't spent a lot of money on the cartoon,
no.
they, no.
But it was, I always got the sense with him that he was probably really quite lonely.
But I like the fact is that-
and he had a cat,
Mummy was
cat
so pleased, but by the time I came out, they'd gone off and I missed the picnic, but Mummy was so pleased that I'd asked her, she gave me an apple.
No, I think
and
she
Charlie
said,
got something he liked, he gets a fish,
yeah.
right? I was thinking, an apple?
No, I seem to remember it being that,
I'll get an apple anyway, get me some sweets.
Yeah, or a tattoo.
I always thought it was a con when your parents got you some clothes you needed for Christmas.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
not falling for that.
Exactly.
I'd go, look, I'm getting the clothes anyway. I want battling tops.
But the Charlie Says, I seem to remember when they were, they asked him to go off for the picnic, by
yeah.
the time he'd asked Mum because she was on the phone,
yeah.
I don't know who she was chatting to in the middle of the day,
yeah.
the kids had gone.
One of her,
and I seem to remember
one of her clients.
Exactly. I seem to remember, I seem to remember that he said, don't worry, he was fine because Mum took him and Charlie on a picnic.
Not as good.
Who'd rather go with your mates
yeah.
or with your mum?
With Mum and your cat.
And your cat.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't think they were
Mum,
friends.
This Scotch egg sinks a fish. Well, I had to bring it for Charlie. Don't bring raw fish in the picnic basket.
I think they weren't friends of his. They were just local kids. You go, let's go and ask that weirdo with the cat if he wants to come down the park.
Let's go and ask the weirdo who thinks the cat can talk.
Can talk yeah.
And then run away when he goes
exactly.
to ask his mum.
When he goes off to ask his mum, they're just going,
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Ask your mum, ask
yeah,
your mum.
Yeah. Hello, hiya. All right, we're the local lads, the cool local lads. We smoke, we got tattoos. Do you want to come and play with some puppies in the disused mine? Ask your mum first.
yeah.
Quick, run.
Exactly.
Look, he's talking to the cat. Look, he's talking to the cat.
They were just round the corner spying on him.
yeah.
They were just laughing. There was no picnic.
Did you ever go on a picnic, Carl? Was there places to go in Manchester, or was it like Quarryland, mostly?
The problem with those, those adverts, like when I was growing up, they'd sort of give you ideas, because remember the Charlie's one,
yeah.
right? And we were on holiday, right? And I met these two lads who were knocking about with, like, mates and that. And that advert came on, and we thought it'd be a good idea to wind his mum up, because this advert had just been on saying, you know, kids are going missing in Wales, right?
Yeah.
So we said, oh, this will be a good laugh. We put the kid in the wardrobe, his mum came back from shopping, we said, oh, he's gone missing, we haven't seen him for hours.
That's terrifying.
I know.
That's
how
appalling.
How old were you?
About 13.
And what was his mum? She must have been,
yeah, she was going mad, and that's when we thought, oh, God, we've gone... Will we say anything? Will we pretend we don't know where he is?
Open the wardrobe, yeah. he'd suffocated.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. horrible, Carl.
I know, but
such
it's
a
just what
thing.
You do, isn't it? It's just what you do.
Well, no, you do.
What do you mean? It's just what you do. But what was he in the wardrobe? Was he listening to this? Why didn't he go, Mum, it's all right, when he heard her crying?
No, she wasn't crying, she was just panicking and, like, yeah. screaming a little bit and that.
screaming a little bit.
And that, okay, we'll tell her when the screaming starts.
exactly, yeah.
And then, what's the other thing? Like, on the same... Like, you know, all this was going on when I was growing up, and, one time we're on holiday, and my mum says, right, if you're going on the beach, it's a big beach, but, you know, if you're going to go out and play there, I need to know where you are.
So where are
the
these bells?
Where this, where this cowbell, right, you know? She gave me a balloon.
Good
she
idea.
Gave me
a balloon, and it just, you know, sort of attached to my arm, so wherever I was playing in the sea and that, you can see the balloon and that.
Brilliant.
But then the problem was... Everyone else thought that's a good idea.
Cool.
And it was just like loads of kids with balloons and that.
Oh, I ruined it.
So that didn't work.
Yeah.
Had to bin that,
sure.
bin that idea.
Weren't you in a car park once?
Oh, no. It was New Year. And, we were all gathering up. You know, like in Trafalgar Square at New Year, everyone gathers and they have a big kind of party and stuff. Well, in Bristol, they do something very similar on a smaller scale. And I was there one New Year's with my friends. And, I for some reason, I picked up a balloon during the evening. You know, I don't know where I got it from, but I was holding this balloon. And these girls came up to me and I thought, yeah, nice, nice. You know, maybe a little New Year kiss. They came up, they said, hey, are you gonna be here for a while? And I said, well, yeah, you know, probably will. They said, it's just that we've arranged to meet back at you at midnight.
What do you mean?
Because I was so tall and had a balloon, I was towering above everyone else. They said, I said, what? They said, we're going to meet back at you at midnight. They said, don't worry, you can go about your business because we can see you wherever you are.
This is where Nelson's column is.
No. No, this is in Bristol.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so I'm sort of wandering around, and then at midnight, these two girls turned up again, and some of these lads come and meet them, and they're sort of laughing and joking. I'm thinking, oh, they're probably going to invite me back to a party. I watched them get in a cab. They went off. They had a wild night. But then I did have a balloon, so it was a great New Year for me.
I did have a balloon. Oh, should we have a little bit of Tupac?
Yeah, if you want. Yeah.
There's a great lyric in this. It's picture me rolling, right? Mm. But at the end, he's saying about, look at me now, I'm, you know, drinking Remy and I'm in a Rolls Royce. And he goes, oh yeah, I forgot the DA. Can she see me from here? Can you see me, ho? And I think this is like district attorney turning on the radio and Tupac going around going, can that ho see me? She's going, yeah. Yeah, I can see you.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. Tupac. I'll tell you what, we should get rolling. Rockbusters.
No.
Alright?
No.
Well, he has done it. He just said that he was worried about it because we said it's the last one. What do you think, Carl?
I just don't think I mean, can I just say now, Carl, seriously, I'm only responding to what we're getting on the email, which is people do not want Rockbusters. They really. There's one guy here who is, he says, it's James Pooley. He says he's preempted Carl by giving my answers to this week's quiz. I don't know what the clue would be, but his answer is no Van Eer, Nirvana.
Yeah, good. No Van Eer, yeah. That'll be, sounds like one.
Number two, he's just guessed. He's probably, I don't know, again, what the clue would be, but the answer is Kid Creosote.
Yeah, that's good. That's a typical Rockbuster. That is brilliant. That's a better game.
And the last one is Harry Seacum.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good.
So, I mean, maybe we should reverse it so people
and we have to come up with a clue for them.
And we
win the prizes.
Yeah.
Have you got prizes ready as well?
It's all there, but.
Oh, I feel sorry for him now. Read what the prizes would have been.
I'd rather just give them away to the first person to email in, apparently, than have to go through the torment of Rockbusters.
Oh, God! Look at Carl's face! I wish you could. Oh, can't we get this on telly just for Carl's face? Hey, I'll tell you what we could do, Steve. You know, like Smiley Miley, and that used to take the Radio 1 Roadshow out.
Oh, man, that would be amazing.
Come on. Should we take it out?
Hello, Bournemouth.
Yeah, how many miles have I done? Don't care. No, should we do this? How many miles have we done? Well, XFM's down the road. Yeah. One. Yeah. Should we take it out the road just so they can see Carl Pilkington?
To be fair, though, I mean, you're not really keen to leave W1, are you?
Well, we wouldn't.
Right. So where exactly would we take the roadshow?
We'd do it outside.
Outside the building?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And what would
it's called a roadshow because it's in the road, and I imagine, isn't it?
And we'd give away t-shirts?
Throw in t-shirts, and then we'd have a band playing. What was that band playing tonight?
I forget, something Diesel, was it?
Yeah.
See, instantly forgettable. I mean, that was my point, really.
We could have them on.
Yeah. Great. Yeah.
We'd
get a couple of celebrity pals down.
Someone from, Big Brother 2.
That would be ideal.
Well, Josh, the other little gay fella.
Yeah.
He'd come on, just wave.
Yeah. I'm beginning to like the idea.
Yeah?
Brilliant, yeah.
So, we'll have Josh, something Diesel, we're playing the Bull and Gate tonight, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Right, I'll throw out some t-shirts.
Yeah.
And then, Carl will do a live Rockbusters. Yeah?
Well, I don't know, do you want it?
I just think that ruins it slightly. It would just bring the whole afternoon down, Rick, I think.
We'd get it sponsored by someone. Yeah? No? Well, I'm just trying to inject a bit of Read the prices, what they would have done.
There's a PlayStation game here. I guess it's maybe not been released yet. It's a little demo of that. What's this? The American Song Poem Anthology. I don't exactly know what that is again, but lots of songs on there and a couple of compilations, arbitrary compilations, the Club Anthems compilation, the best summer holiday album ever.
Wow. Well,
you
certainly sold it to me, Steve.
The best air guitar album again.
Brilliant.
And an old edition of Only Fools and Horses.
So, you really haven't put the effort into the prizes, Carl. So if that's the prizes, if that's the whole point of the competition, and they're the best prizes you could conjure up, in God's name, how bad are the clues this week? That's why he doesn't want you to do it, Carl.
All right, we won't bother. We get it. Doesn't matter.
Good. Excellent. Well, that's resolved.
Brilliant.
That's excellent. So what we have got, though, is Educating Ricky, haven't we?
Well, another one of my little things.
Oh, it's brilliant, then.
So how long's this gonna last before you wanna get ditch this?
Well, we'll see. A couple of weeks.
Not like that, Carl. It's all one. It's all we are. It's one love, man.
We're on the same team.
Yeah, we're just one voice, man. One true voice, like those lads.
Yeah,
they could play.
Right. Well, the Educating Ricky.
They
right?
could play.
Well, why don't we play a record and come back with Educating
the
Ricky?
The Wind, Cat Stevens.
We need to get the jingle queued up as well.
Yeah, I'll get the jingle queued up.
No,
yeah.
I haven't got Neil Young lined up yet.
No, not Neil Young, Cat Stevens. I gave it to you.
I know, we're not playing that yet.
Can we just play a record?
See, what? So why aren't you playing the record I told you to play?
Because we've just had something chilled, right, from Tupac. Let's lift it up a bit now with a little bit of blur. Right?
Come on, play it.
Oh, how much you off?
I just have.
Crazy beat for LXFM 104.9. Right, we're gonna do Educating Ricky instead of Rockbusters.
Incidentally, on the subject of Rockbusters, we've just had an email from Phil. He says, I could do with this week's rather shoddy array of prizes, as I'm doing a car boot sale tomorrow and need a bit more tact to fill the table.
We might as well do it anyway. Yeah. But Educating Ricky, it was a feature. Well, actually, about a year ago, I started a feature called Educating Carl because we found out he had one E at O level at history. I'd educate him on things like Rasputin, things that I thought he'd be interested in, you know, Winston Churchill, some of the greats, some scientific facts. And then I said, it's your turn. And he started telling me about people born without legs, some people have got a funny eye, there's a woman whose tongue's longer than her arm, and, really, you know, turning the screw on education. Yeah. So, I don't know what he's got for me today. Maybe a dog born a cat. Let's have a look.
We've done that.
often, we should point out, there's sometimes a crossover between Educating Ricky and Cheeky Freak of the Week, yeah, just in terms of subject matter.
Yeah, so, we've done Cheeky Freak of the Week, we've done all the freaks. What have we done with the Freak of the Week? There's a, what was it, a dog? There was a woman that had the back legs of a dog. There was, last week, there was, what was last week?
It was the, it was the girl who was born with four eyes, two males and three legs.
Sure.
You weren't that impressed, so I thought, if we've got to that and it's not impressing you.
Let's spin it,
let's move on.
Is there a jingle for Educating Ricky?
Educating Ricky, oh God. Oh, you've told me Educating Ricky. Very similar to some of the other jingles I've done.
Yeah. Well, they're made by the same people.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay, well, it's just, I mean, Educating Ricky is just stuff that I learn in the week, and I think that's interesting. I keep it up here, and then I share it with you, right? And, some interesting stuff. One of them, right? Mount Everest.
Go on. I need more.
Right, well, there's a problem.
Yeah.
Because people are leaving rubbish up there and that. And, like, people, whoever owns it is saying, oh,
whoever owns it
is saying, forget this. They're leaving a mess and all that. But do you know why it's called Mount Everest?
What was that? That's one, is it? That's one. There's rubbish on Mount Everest.
No.
How many people go up there?
Are we talking about people dumping old tellies and washing machines?
Who's fed up? The Yeti? Well, I mean, what are you talking about?
No, I mean, that isn't what I'm educating you. I'm just telling, this is part of the story. I'm just telling you.
Just a bit of context for you.
That they're leaving loads of rubbish up there.
Well, they're not leaving loads of rubbish up there, are they?
No, they are. Apparently
not like prams and washing machines and seagulls flying everywhere.
I don't know.
Anyway. Don't
know. But anyway, do you know why it's called that? You know why it's called Mount Everest?
Well, it's called Mount Everest.
I know the Mount bit.
It's because it's a large mount, and if you climb it, by the time you get to the top, you need to have a rest. And that is, that isn't the educating bit. I'm just telling
you. It's not true.
Well, we'll leave that.
Well, no, Carl. In the name of everything holy, do you think that anyone named it because you have to have a rest when you've climbed it?
Well, we'll see. We'll see what people say on email. But
well,
that,
it's definitely not.
But anyway, that's one thing that kind of thought, that's interesting. I'll remember that. I'll teach Ricky that, so you've learnt that. Right, now, are you familiar with this thing that they can do if you're dead, right? No, no, not if you're dead. It's like if you're ill and you know you're going to die, yeah. Right?
I don't know what this is anymore.
Extraordinary.
Have a rest. Himalayas. Himalaya.
Listen, this is an interesting fact, come on. If you're ill but you know you're gonna die.
Yeah, you can have this thing done in Detroit where you get put in a fridge.
Right.
And, if they work out, you know, what's wrong with you in 20 years' time, you go, right, that fella is in the fridge, he had that, we can sort it, let's get him out. And, they sort you out. That's...
Yeah. Is this the first time you've come across this idea?
Yeah, I read it the other day, I didn't know
about
it. You've
never heard of this before?
It's cryogenically preserved.
Good, innit?
They put you at sort of like sub-zero temperatures, so they stop all cellular activity.
So does do you stop aging at that point?
Yeah, it's suspended animation.
So, well, what's the law on it, right? Because say if I add something, right?
Yeah.
And I said, oh, put me in a fridge, and when you've got the cure and that. Wheel me out, sort me out. Say if they did that,
yeah,
and it was like 40 years,
yeah,
and in 40 years' time they get a cure for me,
yeah.
Would I have to stay with Suzanne? Because she'd be 70.
Do you mean what are the rules? You can should you be allowed to date a younger woman?
Well, it's not fair, is it? It's like good news, we've sorted you out, but
I don't think she'd have the best 40 years of her life.
Yeah. And plus, they're never gonna find a cure for what ails you.
That is genius! That is brilliant. You come out, you're cured, and you go, oh no.
I love the fact that's what he'd be lying there. If you could think while he was in that state, you'd be thinking, oh god.
She's losing her looks.
Yeah.
Just, oh dear.
But everything else as well, like, my job wouldn't be here.
No.
No.
Although
the figures would have gone up, a little bit.
Yeah. Flat's probably gone or knocked down or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
Most of my family would be dead.
Yep.
So what's the point? How do you know about it? Who's done it?
Well, famously Walt Disney, apparently. I mean, Walt Disney actually did die, but had his body preserved. So that should they one day be able to bring back people from the dead,
they need Walt Disney.
They think, hang on, who do we have?
But with him, nothing is going to change because when he comes out, Mickey Mouse will still look the same.
Sure.
And plug and all that.
Plug! Play record! I don't know where your mind is! Play record! It's brilliant, you just say words! It's the Averett!
Cent in the club on XFM 104.9. So Carl's a little bit fed up today, actually whinging, I mean properly whinging, fed up, reckons he's tired, reckons he's overworked here, but do you know what I mean, Carl? Everyone gets tired. Everyone does the same sort of hours. What do you do, sort of 9 till 6, 7?
About 9 till half, 7, 8.
Well no, because I've a couple of times this week, I've sort of met you for a drink about 6. So, it's funny, isn't it? That's weird.
Some of the times I've come back after it, just for another 40 minutes or something whilst no one's around, try and get stuff done without phones going, without emails coming in.
Yeah, we've got to do it.
Can I tell you what I think is a disappointment?
You're in the department. You've got
to
do it.
I just think it's a disappointment that Carl hasn't been able to put that aside and rise to the occasion. He's only got to do this show once a week.
It's 2 hours.
We're tired. We've got
you've got one job. We've got about 6. And we're still doing it. Do you know what I mean? We still do it.
Professional, Nick. I mean, that's why you've won multiple awards. It's because you're willing to get up there, even if you're feeling a little bit under the weather, even if you hurt yourself, or you've got an injury of some kind. Yeah. You're out there. You're doing it. You're entertaining. You're providing a service.
Yeah. So
It's a disappointment.
Yeah, but I've pressed all the right buttons at the right time.
Indeed.
Right? That's what I get paid for, yeah? Yeah. Done that, the adverts have gone out. Sure. You know what I mean? I've made your cups of tea.
It's the negativity which is a problem, it's the vibe, you're bringing,
bringing
the room
us down.
In.
Bringing us down.
And, the, and therefore down. The listeners.
Therefore the listeners. Bringing us down. If you don't like London, you know what to do. Mm. Well,
well. I'm trying to get out of here, aren't I?
We just bought a new flat. That's not the best way.
Buy a flat in Manchester, live there.
Doesn't matter. I can always rent it out and make a little bit of money.
Why don't you sell the flat in London and buy a street in Manchester?
Pilkington Avenue. Brilliant. You could literally have the Lord, the King of that street. People could, and people could come to you like Solomon with their problems.
Yeah.
Well, he's come up from London. He's got London ways.
Now, so interestingly, have you heard, do you remember the famous King Solomon story? That, there are two women, they're both arguing over whose baby it is. And they present this to, they say, this is my baby, and the other one goes, no, this is my baby.
So, one, he knows one of them's lying, but he doesn't know which one.
And so what does he do? How does King Solomon solve that? How does he figure out whose baby is his?
They're both white fellas, yeah?
Both what?
White fellas.
Two women.
Right, it's a, two white women.
To be proper, they probably weren't, you know, completely white.
Yeah, well, whatever, yeah, they're of the same ethnicity.
No, but I'm just working out, right, all right, then, so, yeah. All right.
And don't think about what King Solomon would necessarily
do. Yeah, it wasn't that easy. No, it's not, that's not what I'm tall, skinny, white, and with big ears, and so is the baby, the other one's a little short Chinese bloke. Yeah. It's two women, for a start.
Yeah.
Two women, okay. The baby, to look at, could be either. He doesn't know which, but he knows one of them's lying, obviously.
And is the one lying saying it's hers or saying it's not hers?
Right, okay, this isn't worth it, Steve. I'm gonna tell you what he said, and you tell me if you think it was good or not. He says, well, then what we do is, as King, so what we do is, I'll take a sword, I'll cut the baby into two, and you can have half each. And one of the women says, no, don't do that. And one of them says, yeah, that's fair.
Right.
Do you see?
So which one was it?
Sorry? Well, no, my guess is the one that didn't want it done probably was the mother of the child. The one that didn't mind having the baby cut in half probably wasn't a mother of the child. Why don't you think, you bald little mank twat, play a record?
Well, I'm just, alright.
Although, it's not a very good solution.
No.
The woman who was lying could have come up with something better than, yeah, cut it in half. What she should have done is, yeah, they'll give it to the other one as well.
Yeah.
Jaded from Aerosmith on XFM 104.9. Just trying to pep things up.
See, Steiner, you're up. You're up there. I mean, we've got lots of work to do. We're filming too. We've got loads of things. Admin, DVDs, everything like that. We come in here. This is poxy. This is not a drop in the ocean, the sort of work and money we earn. Right, really? If we do this to keep charitable status. Because, and yet you, you know, Carl, come on. What's the matter with you?
Are we doing Rockbusters?
I'll tell you what, because it's your special day and I want you to have a great time today, we're gonna do Rockbusters
If you cheer up. Miserable. It just got ratty then. Go, no, don't push it on me head, don't put it on me head.
Right, what were you trying to put on me head?
I was trying to put a pear on your head to knock it off with a ball, like William Tell, but it was, because your head is so round and the pear was round, I tried to flatten it a little bit and I didn't know it was a juicy pear. So, I thought it'd be like just to crush it a little bit, and then he went mental because he had juice running down his face.
Oh.
Why is it my fault? The pear's a faulty pear.
Exactly.
Get proper fruit in here. It worked with the apple.
That was fine.
And then he gets ratty with me.
Okay, let's not waste any time with Rockbusters. Can we really, let's whip through
just
it.
Just do the clues, quickly. Quick, go, Rockbusters. Right, go.
Right, the first clue.
Yeah, hurry up, faster.
All the police cars are on fire.
All the police cars are on fire. What's the initials?
BS.
BS. All the police cars are on fire. Good. What's the next one?
The director of 28 Days Later is shouting about sleeping outside.
Yeah, okay. What's the initials for that?
DB.
Right, okay. Okay, yeah. Right, go on then.
He wants to be a sailor. Why is that?
Yeah, well, what's the initials there?
B.
Brilliant, okay.
Give them again quickly, because I didn't quite catch the second one, so, but go from the top.
All the police cars are on fire.
Yeah, it's BS.
BS.
Yeah.
The director of 28 Days Later is shouting about sleeping outside.
Yeah, okay.
DB.
Yeah.
Right? He wants to be a sailor. Why is that?
Yeah.
B.
B. Okay, then brilliant. Okay, now Carl, you gonna cheer up now? Email Oni, Ricky Gervais at virgin.co.net. Radio yeah. 1 Roadshow. Smiley Miley.
Smiley Miley's mileage game, if anyone remembers that. I mean, here's a man, right, whose job, Smiley Miley was not a DJ, let me forget. Smiley Miley was the guy that organised the vans that carried the equipment to and from the roadshows. But because he was such a crazy personality.
Because he smiled a little bit, exactly. He got recognition, Carl. Longevity, lots of money, and lives where he wants to live, the town that he wants to live in. Why don't you just enjoy the town that you've chosen to live in, because it's so good? London. What town have you been to? Have you travelled at all?
I've been about a bit, yeah.
Right, okay then. What towns did you like? Okay, forget Manchester. That's safe. You like Manchester. Right, I'll do the big three.
Shouting.
London, New York, Paris. Okay, you don't like London, even though you live here. Got flats here. Good. Excellent. That makes sense. Have you been to New York?
Yeah.
What do you think? It's an amazing city, isn't it?
I like it. It's just noisy. It's yeah. smelly.
Right, it's the city that never sleeps.
I'm not surprised with all the racket and that.
Paris, the city of love, the most romantic city in the world.
Not really. I remember seeing an old woman in McDonald's in there, and it put me off. That's where that thing happened, where the
what?
Old woman was.
What did you say? Tell us.
We talked about it before. The old woman in McDonald's.
Yeah, what
she
happened?
She was sat in the corner there with her legs open, no knickers on. Right.
Oh God!
Did well, that's Paris.
Did that put you off your cheeseburger?
Next city, where next?
Have you been to, I don't know, oh, the most beautiful city, Venice.
Yeah, I've been there, yeah.
It's good?
No.
Why?
Because they sell it to you as if it is a romantic city.
Where did you see it, sold?
No, I saw it on, when I was growing up, right? Remember 3-2-1 with Ted Rogers?
Yeah, of course.
It used to be one of the star prizes on there.
Right.
And they'd say, let's show you the video, let's see what you're going to, let's see where you're going to be loving yeah. it for a couple of weeks. And they'd show you this scene
yeah.
of, like, the gondolas.
Yeah.
And all the city lit up at night.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
a man and woman sat on a boat, loving yeah. it and stuff.
Yeah.
I went there, bin bags everywhere.
Play a record.
Oh, it's a mess.
Play a record.
It's London.
That flooded. Is Wish You Were Here with Carl Pilkington.
All right. It's London flooded.
Black Rebel Motorcycle Club. Stop. On XFM. Carl's back. He's cheering up a little bit. Because I think he's vented his spleen a little bit on cities around the world that aren't as good as Manchester. So, is any of your family left in Manchester? Because they all moved away, didn't they? You came here, your dad's moved to Wales, for Christ's sake. Well, your family are all around the- brother joined the army to get anywhere, just take me anywhere.
We don't know where he is.
His sister's moved away, so no
Ireland.
One-
Ireland, yeah.
Yeah, there you go, you see? So, that's just one family. That's one family who love Manchester.
Exactly.
All right.
Tell you what, Steve.
Go on.
I did find out in the week.
Yeah.
World record, right? Person with the longest trump.
With the longest what?
Wind fart.
Right.
Right. 2:42 is the world record.
Okay.
Right.
Well, I'm immediately thinking about a relative of yours, who I'm sure did longer than that.
Who still lives in Manchester.
Auntie Nora.
Now, Auntie Nora did it for
reportedly,
5 minutes, wasn't it?
Start fighting for 5 minutes. But, unfortunately, she was the only person in the room. Whereas, I think, which one's alive, Ross or Norris McWhirter?
I don't know, actually.
He has to be there.
Yeah, I think he actually has to
he'd
be
have
present.
To be there.
Would just... he want to be there?
Well, he'd have sort of equipment, looking at his watch, going, finish, he goes, yeah, he goes, well, that was... 4 minutes.
Did she go from
seconds?
Like a size 10 to a size 6? Did she look, show some old dresses?
Like a hovercraft.
Exactly.
In a big dress.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
slightly off. Yeah. So, it has to be invigilated.
But again, you know, how was the world Guinness Book of World Records one invigilated? I mean, who was supervising that? Who was
he said that? I can fart for 2 minutes. They went, well, we've got to see this. Went round. And, he just probably let it rip. It's probably circular breathing. He's probably sort of sucking in air and swallowing it as he's going. And it's a continuous one, isn't it? It's not like... Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's how Nora's happened, me Auntie Nora. She had a little bit of wind, it went on for like 2.5 minutes.
Sure.
That's when she called me Mam.
As it was still going on.
And said, there's something not right here.
I'm leaking.
She said, oh, can you send your dad round? You know, my dad. yeah. sent to me mum.
With a cork.
And,
with a lighter. Yeah. I think this would be the best one
ever. I want to show the kids something.
He said, I'll be there in a bit, get the windows open. But what it was down to, because I was talking to my mum about it.
Is she the one with the split tennis ball?
Yeah.
Can we not talk about that again?
I was talking to my mum and dad about it, saying, you know, why do you think it happened and that. And it's because she never chucks food away, right? Mm-hmm. And she'll sort of mash it all up. Mm-hmm. And she's got all these ice cream tubs in the fridge that are just full.
Cabbage
of, like,
water.
Old, mashed up food.
Really?
And she prepares everything. Right? She doesn't work. She's retired now. She's got nothing to do all day, but everything's got to be ready
still
for her.
Still causing sick.
Do you know what I mean? Everything's got to be done. Even though, if you're going round to her house and you're going there for tea, it's like, what time are you coming? And it's like, well, I don't know, maybe 5, maybe 6.
Yeah, you're late, because you're late when you have to meet us at 5 or 6.
Do you know what I mean? That's
what. So, when you say she mashes up food, she literally takes the remnants of a dinner, could be sort of some-
Anything.
And just smashes it all up into a- Yeah. And then what does she do with it?
Put it in the fridge, and she's got it in the fridge, it's like January, February, March, she's got all these ice cream boxes that are just full of-
But she doesn't- She reheats it in each.
Oh, then she puts it in a pan.
She was just keeping it as a souvenir of each meal she'd have.
No, put it in a pan, warm it up.
Oh, that's
good. And that's what it is. It's just
a lot of vegetation, is it?
Yeah.
Why has it only happened once, or does she save it up once a year, just let it go?
I don't know. But she is mad. She's
yeah. She sounds potty.
She doesn't answer the phone anymore in case there's a burglar checking if she's in. It's like, we'll answer it, and then they'll know you are in, and they won't come out.
Yeah.
Mental.
Well, they can't be sure then, can they?
What do you mean?
Well, if there's no, I go, well, maybe it's someone just, they are in, but they're hiding. Whereas if Auntie Nora goes, it's Auntie Nora. We can nick, she'll be farting. We can sneak in when she does a loud one. Because she'll be, we'll be aware of telling you, what's stopping it? It's got a valance round it. It's got caught on the cap.
So have we got a recap on Rockbusters?
No, just do, has anyone got the right answers? Got the right answers?
Let me just check here. Here's one from someone who just says, he's given an answer, answer to number one, I, number two, don't, number three, care.
Right, okay, is he close? Has anyone got three answers?
I can't find one with three answers.
So, again, you've done something wrong, Carl.
No, no.
This isn't radio, this isn't radio, play a record.
There you go, someone's got it.
Give it to them.
Fine, okay, give us the clues again, we'll give the answers straight away. Yeah. No fanning around.
Yeah, right. It's really pointless.
Number one, yeah. all the police cars are on fire.
BS.
BS.
Yeah, what was that?
I can think of something.
Go on.
Blazing Squad.
Brilliant.
Okay. Right.
The director of 28 Days Later is shouting about sleeping outside.
Yeah.
That's Dan Yell Bedding Field. Right?
Danielle we're never, bed in field.
Right, we'll never let him do this again.
I told you I washed my hands of it.
I know, but
why
I just thought-
Why did you let him? Why do you-
Because he was grumpy.
But this is what happens. Look what's happened. Danielle bed in field. That's what happened.
The director of- So Danny Boy, so Dan, right, all that for Dan, but shouting about being- Dan Yell bed in field. Right, what's the last one?
He wants to be a sailor, why is that?
Yeah.
Beyonce.
What does that mean?
Beyonce. He wants to be on the sea.
Play record. You're never doing it again. You've just signed your death warrant.
What have we done?
You're never doing Rockbusters again. And if Monkey News is about that, we'd ban that as well.
We've
and we're serious this time.
So Joe in Catford, stuff off to you.
Oh, I can't believe what we've done. The shout out.
You won. Well done on that.
What have we done, Rick? What have we done?
A little sailor fella, he wants to, you know, join the Navy. Why? Beyonce.
Beyonce.
Knowles. Is his surname?
Yeah.
Midshipman Knowles. Now, Carl, we're going to do another edition, I think, of Wish You Were Here, because that really cheered you up, didn't it?
Tom.
Where else you been? Where else you been? Have you been, you've been around Europe, haven't you? You been to any hot country? You been to Greece?
Greece.
Turkey?
Gone Turkey, yeah. Yeah. Been to Turkey. Little fellas. Little midgets working in the canteen in the hotel I was in.
Okay.
Hassling Suzanne as well.
Okay. Have you been to Scotland?
Once for the Edinburgh Festival.
Go on.
That's where I looked out of my hotel room, saw a traffic warden putting a ticket on some bin bags.
Brilliant.
Because they'd gone into the road.
So that's Turkey, Scotland.
What about places, here? Has he been to- have you been to the West Country? Where we- where
have you been to my neck of the woods, Bristol?
I haven't been what else is around there?
Bath?
Been to Bath, yeah.
Yeah, what do you make of it?
Once you've been, probably don't need to go again. Cause it's sort of old and they don't change anything.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
That'll be the Roman spa he's talking about, I think. Yeah. What about, Brighton?
A lot of gay people.
Right, okay, thank you. Next week on Wish You Were Here, we'll go to some other places where there are gay people.
Fascinating.
And brilliant.
Another extraordinary insight there. Carl, could we have some monkey news?
Well, just before we do monkey news, right, can I do a little, psychological test on you?
On me?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's brilliant, this. Someone emailed it in.
Brilliant.
Right. Little story with a question at the end.
Okay.
Right? Right.
This is going to be so annoying.
No, 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 it's not, honestly. It's,
well, it is, because you're going to think it's science and it's going to be trite.
Alright, well.
Go on.
Right. Little story first, right. There's this funeral, right? And this girl was at a funeral.
Same funeral?
Yeah.
Right.
It was a mother's funeral.
Oh, yeah.
Right? She met this fella who she didn't know, right? But she thought this fella who she met was amazing. She didn't know him, right? But she thought he was brilliant, right? Like a dream fella.
Right.
And she fell in love with him, right? But never asked for his number, his phone number.
Right.
Right? And she couldn't find him. Now, a few days later, the girl killed her own sister. Right?
Yes.
Question is, why did she do that?
Okay, well it's one of those stupid things then, isn't it?
Oh.
So, it's not logic, it's what am I thinking?
No, no, it's not. Seriously, it's a proper,
so it's
proper mental
logic.
Test. It's a proper mental test.
A mental test? It does, it is a bit mental.
So you understand the story, yeah?
Kind of, let me just get it right. So there's a funeral, a girl goes to the funeral of her mother.
Yeah.
She meets the guy, or she-
She meets the guy at the funeral.
She meets the
guy. He looks alright, I fancy a bit of that.
Right.
Has a chat with him.
Yeah.
But doesn't get his name, doesn't get a phone number or anything.
So, to cut a long story short, the things are asked, right, so the reason she kills her own sister, is this something to do with finding out something about the man she met?
Well, just answer the thing. Just,
okay then. I'll answer it then. She went mental. He was a spy called Derek. What do you mean, just answer it?
Anyway, I'm testing Steve.
Right, well, she killed her own sister because, her sister, had stolen some money from her. And was sleeping with her husband.
Is that it?
Well, I don't know. What's the answer on the paper? So,
well, come on, what
come
is-
Come on!
What?
Well, the answer is-
No, an answer is-
That she was hoping that the guy would appear at the funeral again. He'd go to the funeral.
Right, that's not a proper psychological test.
It's one of those stupid
little shitty things.
It's like
a man goes into a field and dies. Why? His parachute didn't open. That's what I'm thinking.
I'm surprised you learned anything.
Romeo and Juliet. Oh, Juliet's a fish.
He said she was hoping that the guy would appear again at the funeral. If you answered this correctly, you think like a psychopath. This was a test by a famous fella, right, who used it on killers, and most of the killers got the answer right.
Did you also think that? Was that the answer you gave when you first read it?
No, I didn't know. But I wondered what you would have got.
Good, yeah, so that's proof that I'm not a psychopath.
Yeah, but that's the point, but it's a psychological test for looking at something very, very specific.
What's up with that?
Well, what was the best that could happen? That he'd got it right, so he is a psychopath?
What annoys me is you're not happy with that test. But before, you wasted 3 minutes trying to balance a pear on my head. What were you getting out of that?
Let's play a song and have some monkey news. Oh.
Joe Jackson. Is she really going out with him on XFM? Right, it's the time that most people, I imagine, have been waiting for. Monkey news.
Play the jingle.
Okay. Oh, chimpanzee that, monkey news.
Right.
Come on. Come on.
Should be ready, Carl.
That's amazing, isn't it? It's like, Nicholas Witchell.
Yeah,
ooh, the bomb. No, that's not the first. Come on!
No, it's always difficult, isn't it, to sort of find something that's good each week, right? Last week, We did the chimp.
It is for us, yeah.
We had the chimps who were running a health spa.
Yeah.
Right. We've covered the one who nicked a car to go on to Spain.
Yep.
To sort his future out.
All shite.
The hairdresser. I think he's, you know, we've done that one, the little monkey hairdresser. This week, we're looking at monkeys, that they use in... Do you know, like, monkeys, they know how, like...
I've lost the will to live, Steve.
Oh, well, I don't want to do it.
But, well, come on, just... Come on!
What are monkeys good at?
What are monkeys good at?
Yeah.
well, running small businesses, cutting people's hair, and driving cars.
Yeah, they love Spain.
Oh, and foiling bank robberies.
Yeah, they're great.
Well, something else they're good at, right, is, like, weighing up the situation. If you stick them in like a field with loads of, like, obstacles on it, right, they're good at sort of, yeah, I can get over that, I know how to climb over that, I'll swing from there to there, that sort of thing, right?
Okay.
So the people in charge of somewhere, I've thought-
Oh, somewhere!
Come on. I've thought we can use that skill, right? What? And what they've done is they've got a load of, little monkeys, right? They've given them an IQ test.
Yeah.
And the ones that score above 80, right?
Get to produce this show next week.
Join the army.
Right, how do they join the army and what do they do?
They just, what they do is they set little obstacle courses up for them, they do that, they do a cross-country run, they do, the IQ test.
Cross-country run?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then once they've done all that, they make them a little uniform, made to measure little uniform.
Slightly longer arms, shorter legs than usual, yeah.
Yeah. And, basically, then they taught how to use a gun and that sort of thing.
Yeah, of course they are. You're talking rubbish again.
This came through literally, you know, pretty late on, so...
So you've not had a chance to incorporate all the facts, as usual?
Just have a look.
Right, it's the bit I'm looking for is, well, A, why are they doing it? Why are they doing it?
Yeah.
Why do we need monkeys in the army? And, secondly, why are we giving them guns? I'll just check to see if any of that...
I love the fact we only let gays in recently.
Yeah. Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah.
Just have a look.
I can't read it. That's too much pressure.
But it's rubbish. But it's rubbish. They don't get it. Again, it's the way that there are things. There are animal corps, right? There are horses. There are dolphins, sea lions. You know, there are lots and lots of animals in the army, but they don't have to pass an obstacle test as such, and they're not taught to fire guns. You've straight away assumed that there's gonna be loads of squads of men and then just one little monkey in the middle. Like, you know, he came second on the test. He's in. He's in, boys.
What do you think, Steve? You've read it?
Well, as ever, Carl, this is an arbitrary email sent by one of our listeners. You know what Ricky and I think of them. and so we're not really basing this on hard evidence. We're basing it on the ramblings of one of our listeners.
Rubbish. Once again, lazy, rubbish, uncorroborated, nonsense, the stupid test that you got wrong.
Rick, that sounds like monkey news to me.